Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. If you're a new listener, I welcome you and pray that you're blessed by the word the Lord would have me share today and as well as this week. As we are approaching the day that all of Christendom celebrates, remembering the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, I wanted to share with you just a simple message about the Lord of life. And I'm talking about Jesus. John 1 and 4 says, "In Him," that's Jesus, "was life, and the life was the light of men." So what I'd like to do, that short little word, life, consists of four letters, L-I-F-E, and I would like to share these four letters contain words, if you will, of attributes and characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, let's look at the letter L, and that stands for Lord. Jesus is Lord. Can you say amen? Praise God. He is Lord. He is God Almighty. He is the author of all life. He's the author of natural life. The Word of God says that in the John's Gospel, that without Him, there was nothing made that was made. Genesis 2 and 7 says, "God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So Jesus and his Father and the Holy Spirit were all involved in the creation of the world as well as the creation of man. Acts 17 and 28 declares, "For in him," in Jesus, "we move and live and have our being." Job 12 and 10 says, "In whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind," referring, of course, to the hand of the Lord. So he's the Lord, obviously, of natural life. He's also the Lord of spiritual life, all because of what Jesus Christ did over 2,000 years ago. He came as a sacrificial lamb. He came as the only begotten Son of God. He came as very God and very man, and fulfilled over 100 words, 100 prophecies that are recorded in the Old Testament, some written hundreds of years earlier, 500 years earlier, about through the prophets Isaiah, most noticeably, and, or I should say notably, and Zephaniah and Zechariah. God was letting very clear clues be given, even though the prophets, I'm sure, had no idea of what they were referring to. Crucifixion wasn't even known at that time. Yet there are very specific references to what Jesus would do. He came as the Lamb of God. He came to take away the sins of the world. And he did that. He accomplished that. The work was complete. The work of Calvary was accomplished. Jesus said it was finished. And so nothing can be added to it. And life is available to every single man, woman who has ever lived. Anyone who lives on the planet to this moment can be saved if they will call upon the name of the Lord. So yes, he is the author of spiritual life. Until Jesus came, there could be no true reconciliation and true fellowship and communion with man. After Jesus rose from the dead. It said he went down into Hades and he brought captivity captive, all those Old Testament saints that were waiting for the hope of the promised prophet, the Messiah. He came and released them into eternal life. He preached the gospel to the prisons, to the souls in captivity. And so, yes, he is the Lord of life. Let me just share some scriptures simply with you. John 6 and 33, "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Psalm 36 and 9 says, "For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light we shall see light." John 14 and 6 says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Beloved, there are so many today that are searching for truth. They're searching for answers. They don't have solutions. They don't know where to turn. But beloved, there is one who lived and died, a very man, yet the incarnate Son of God, and he rose from the grave. All the other, quote, founders of all the other religions and cults, they're in the grave. Buddha's in the grave. Muhammad's in the grave. But Jesus, hallelujah, came forth. He's alive forevermore. Praise God. Romans 8, 11 and 13 says, "For if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you," and if you've accepted Jesus, he does, "he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Praise God. Well, we've looked at the letter L for Lord and for life. Let's look at that next letter, I. And I suggest to you that stands for invincible. What does that mean, that word invincible? Well, Webster defines it as incapable of being conquered, overcome, or subdued. Not able to be conquered. Well, that word certainly applies to the Lord Jesus Christ. And since he has given us power as his children, since we are joint heirs and heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, we also can be invincible if we avail ourselves of our spiritual weapons, of our spiritual armor, and all that Jesus has provided us. We too are invincible. Think about that. What does Romans 8:37 say? We are more than conquerors through him, Jesus, that loved us. Paul goes on to say, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Oh, beloved, nothing is stronger than love. The love of God surpassing all knowledge, all understanding. We can't comprehend it. We cannot plumb the depths of it, but we can appreciate, we can thank him for it, and we can enjoy his goodness to us. Jesus promised us that we didn't have to be heavy-hearted. In John 16, 33, he said, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." John 2, 13 says, "Ye," referring to us, "have overcome the wicked one, Satan, and all his demons, and all the hosts of hell." Just these scriptures are wonderful. 1 John 4 and 4, "Ye are of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Some of us, if we've walked with the Lord for many years, are so familiar with these scriptures. We hear them over and over, and it's like they don't even penetrate, but they should resonate deep within our spirits. Think about that. Ye are of God, little children. You've overcome the host of the enemy, because greater is he, Jesus, in you than he, the devil and his hosts and his henchmen that are in the world. A few more scriptures. 1 John 5, 4 and 5 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." And Revelation 2, 11, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony." So we are not able to be conquered. We're not able to be overcome. We're not able to be subdued, to overcome. What does that mean? To get the better of, to surmount, to overpower, to gain the superiority. I shared all those scriptures with you. We can't be overcome. Jesus overcame the world. We're not able to be subdued. Conquer. What does that mean? To conquer, to vanquish, to bring under control or subjection. And Philippians 3:21 says, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is even able to subdue all things unto himself. What a glorious resurrection promise that is. Amen. Psalm 18:39 says, for thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Hallelujah. Praise God. So he is the Lord of life. He is Lord that is absolutely, totally victorious. He's the author of all life. He's invincible. He cannot be conquered. He cannot be overcome. He cannot be subdued. And F, that next word I suggest to you, suggests freedom. Oh, hallelujah. He is the Lord of life. But the apostle counsels us, he's not given us, you know, he's given us the spirit of fear, not again to bondage, not to go back into the rudiments of this world, not to go back into legalism, but to enjoy our glorious heritage. And that means freedom from everything demonic. Everything demonic brings bondage. Amen. And the marvelous thing is, we can walk away anytime from bondage. We have the freedom to exercise our will. God sends no one to hell. John 8:36 says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So we can walk away from sin, we can walk away from bondage. And of course, the other alternative is we can walk away from the Lord too. I can't imagine anybody wanting to do that, but we have the freedom to do that. If you don't want God anymore, if you're fed up serving the Lord, well, he doesn't, you know, he constrains you with bands of love, but he's not going to force you to love him. It's something that must come out of your heart. And I'll close this broadcast with Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Amen. Well, there's more to share, so I invite you to tune in tomorrow, and we'll just continue right on. The announcer in a moment is going to give you our contact information, and I pray that if you've been blessed by the broadcast, I know you will be blessed by the correspondence ministry. It's a personal ministry to God's people. From time to time, I share letters of how wonderfully the Holy Spirit times the words that I send. He knows exactly what we need. So God bless you. Thank you for your prayer support and financial help. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying may God's best for...
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.